Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
I am not in love, but I'm open to persuasion. East or west, where's the best?
I just don't want to interrupt us. Joan Armatrading here. Let's get to that chorus. With a friend coming in.
I can smile.
It's smart. It's fading out. All right. Well, anyway, we'll just start singing to Chris Jones. Love, ooh, ooh, and affection. All right, that's terrible. I can't do Joan Armatrading. I'm Mark Caro. I'm here with Chris Jones.
Hey,
we're
everybody.
Filling in for the fantastic, fabulous Rick Kogan on After Hours on WGN Radio 720. And we're talking about love. We have a theme tonight.
Yeah. So what is the theme of our segment this half hour?
Well, right now, we're going to talk about cooking with love.
Mm.
Because, you know, when you eat a great meal, people say, you know, well, this was cooked with love. And you'll go to a restaurant, and they'll say, this was cooked with love. And sometimes, you know, if you're like at Denny's, you're like, no, it wasn't. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it was. You know, in a movie that you and I both really loved, Moonlight, there's some cooking with love in that movie. We have a special chef on right now, Sarah Gruenberg, the chef of and owner of Monteverde, and also you might know her from Top Chef and her work at Spiaggia, and she definitely cooks with love, and we're going to talk to her about that. Sarah, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Chef.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Welcome to the conversation.
Yeah.
So what... Tell me about the connection between cooking and love. How important is it?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it's what gets me up every day. It's, you know, to cook for people that you love, to cook for a passion, it always is there. And, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just what you do.
Are there like, when you look back on your life, do you think about sort of people you love and sort of the stuff that they cooked for you, like your family? I mean, are there specific meals that you specifically associate with that feeling?
Yeah, I think that through food and for cooking for someone, it's how you show love through food. And I think that my family, my grandparents made everything from scratch and would teach me how to cook a few things. And those meals are really special. I think that's why holiday menus and Thanksgiving, those meals are really about love and the family. And I think that that's kind of that tip of the iceberg when you start talking about cooking and love.
So what about Valentine's Day? What is like, what do you think of as great food for lovers who've come back in on Valentine's, or indeed on any day? But when you think of lovers and couples in your restaurants, what kinds of food do you think about?
Oh, I mean, I guess there's always those foods that are, you know, the aphrodisiac variety.
Is that really true? Are there really aphrodisiac foods?
Getting right into it. I think oysters are one of my favorite date night foods. Jamie, my fiance, we have go and have oysters and martinis, and I think that's one of the, like, best date night.
Where do you go for your oysters?
Meals that you can have.
Where do you go?
I really like Shaw's Oyster Bar.
Me too.
The old school feeling of it. And
yeah, so oysters have that aphrodisiac reputation, but they're also just kind of sexy to eat anyway, if you like them, so, which I'd love them. So.
They are.
All right, what else? What else? Come on, what else other than oysters?
I think pasta is super lovely also. I think that pasta is something that's made by hand, and I think that can be created in so many different ways. And for me, if anyone makes me pasta, it's a good thing.
Yeah, which you just made. I mean, we were just there last night, and we had a fantastic meal at Monteverde. Make your reservations now. And there are just so many different kinds of pastas that you make that just all are just, they have this kind of the silky quality of the and what's with them, the flavors just pop. And it is, I mean, this is maybe because, you know, you think of Italians as being kind of romantic people and a romantic cuisine, but there's something about it that feels very warm, where there are other meals you could have. Like, I'll go and have a sushi meal, and I love sushi, but I don't think of that as being romantic in the way as I think of a pasta in a beautiful velvety sauce.
Yeah, I think pasta takes the cake on that. I think pasta with lobster might be one of the greatest love dishes, personally. Mm.
Hmm. Chris Jones, do you think of, you know, do you have like certain meals that you associate with family? I mean, my grandmother, who lived to almost 101, she just had these cookies and banana breads and pumpkin breads and things that she would make. And we have a little sort of cookbook, mimeographed cookbook of like her recipes. And I'll make one of her things just because it sort of associates, you know, it's just back with, you know, my grandmother's banana bread or something like that. And that's like a powerful thing that goes way beyond, you know, how good it actually tastes.
Well, I grew up with my mother is an incredible, she's still going strong at 94, and she's still cooking, and she still cooks these fabulous dishes. And she never, never had a class. She just learned it from her mother. And I could well up just talking about it whenever she cooks for me. She cooks a fabulous potato pie, which is I grew up in Lancashire in the north of England, and it's like, it's delicious. It, you know, its origins are that people didn't have a lot of money, there wasn't a lot of meat, so you sort of fill up on pastry and on potato, but it's still this dish that I just sit down and I'm 7 years old again. I'm like that critic at the end of Ratatouille, that moment, right. The moment at the end of Ratatouille.
That's the best moment of the movie.
Best moment of the whole movie, where the critic comes in and is transported by the rat chef's simple dish back to the sort of reverie of his childhood. I don't know, Sarah, if you've ever thought about that, you know, that idea of sort of sense memory, that people come into your restaurants and they taste something that really take it. I don't know if it's about transporting them backwards or what, but I'm guessing you've noticed or interacted with people for whom certain kinds of food really kind of touch them emotionally, right?
Yes. I mean, you're speaking my language here. That is exactly what we do. I think that, you know, there's different kinds of cooking, and I think that first, you have to be an eater. You know, you have to love to eat. You have to love to,
exactly, yes.
to sit down at the table with friends and have that experience. And I think that Italian cooking is so much of love and tradition, and that's why I'm so drawn to it. There's generations of families and grandmothers and, you know, recipes that are different from town to town that really, to me, speak to the love of that dish, the care that you put into something. If it's, you know, when you're sick, it's the chicken noodle soup. There's a love that's in it. I mean, think of Lady and the Tramp, you know, pushing the meatballs around.
No, and the single strand of pasta. That's the love moment.
It's kind of one of those things that's, with us from a young age. And I think that's why I love Italian food so much, is there's so much tradition and love.
Okay. So were there meals that you ate young that inspired you? Like, was it, what was the thing that made you think, I want to do this? I want to be a chef. I want to cook.
Oh, man. Everything. I guess if I had to pinpoint one dish, it would be my grandmother's sausage bread. It was the epitome of making things by hand. My grandfather still alive, and my grandmother and grandfather still alive, 90. He's going to be 90
awesome.
Next month. He makes venison sausage. And then my grandmother makes this dough that she wraps around the sausage and then bakes it, and we would eat it for breakfast. And that dish is my ratatouille moment. That takes me back as the sausage, you know, cooks in the dough. The dough gets kind of soft and warm and, you know, absorbs the grease from the sausage, and then it gets crunchy on the outside.
It's made by both of them.
Yes.
Here's an interesting question for you. Do you ever look out at the diners in your restaurant? I mean, you must see people fighting, in love, bored with each other. Do you ever look out and wonder what's going on with what they're doing? Or do you just ignore them?
Oh, man.
Do you? Come on. Tell us. Come on.
I definitely don't ignore. I cook from an emotional place, and I think that being in a restaurant and cooking your food is also allows you to be more open and to, you know, absorb and pay attention. And I really like to meet the diners and see what they think. Often I run the food at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll be like, I can't believe chef's bringing me my dish. And I just love to have that interaction. And I think that, you know, not too many people fighting at Monteverde.
Do you ever see people in tears or having emotional? Do you ever see people having moments of like, have you ever seen a proposal or anything like that in anywhere? Anyone ever asked?
We've had a few proposals, or they come in right afterwards. So that's always lovely. Maybe someone needs to christen the pasta feed show at the restaurant where we make the pasta.
You need to tweet that. Like, you know, if you get engaged over this dish, we'll give you a free dessert.
Yeah, for sure.
Whenever you're in a restaurant, sometimes you could say, oh, everyone does this. I think you'll sort of look over and you're like, all right, is this a first date? They're not talking to each other. He's on his phone. He's looking at his, and then, you know, they're having a bad time. And then you're like, oh, these two are really enjoying it. And they're, you know, you want to be sort of easing along the good night and not sort of fighting against the bad.
I had a moment like that. I was in, I think it was Guthrie's Tavern on Addison Street. And I decided with my friends that everybody else in there was on like a Match.com date, the entire bar. And my friend and I spent most of our evening watching them. And some dates progressed. You saw people move to the back of the bar. They ordered some food. They got closer. And then about three of them seemed to just completely dissolve right before our eyes. It was so fascinating. It was like watching love and romance all, you know, that first date. You must see people, Sarah, in your restaurants on a first date, right?
Yes, you can usually tell.
How do you tell?
The first daters. Well, you know, maybe the one of the guests are trying to impress or say, you know, I'll order for her. Oh. Or, you know, I've been here before. And this is what you should have. You know, I just had a friend that brought a soon to be girlfriend in, and they ate and closed the bar down the other night. So it was it was definitely full of love.
A good sign.
That worked. All right, we have to take a break right now. Sarah, if you want to hang out, we'll come back to you in a moment. And you're listening to WGN 720. Thanks. The dulcet tones of Minnie Riperton there. I love that high note she hits there. I'm just feeling kind of mellow here. How about you, Chris Jones?
Yeah, it's a mellow kind of night. We're talking about love here in for Rick Hogan.
Yeah, that's Chris Jones, Chicago Tribune theater critic and columnist. I'm Mark Caro, writer extraordinaire. And we're here with Sarah Grunberg and the chef of Monteverde. You're still there, Sarah?
I'm here, yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, it's great having you on here. We're talking about the connection between food and love, cooking and love. When you're coming up with the menu and concept for your new restaurant, which isn't that new anymore, it's like 14 months old, what are you thinking in terms of diners' emotional responses, or are you thinking in terms of, is it more of sort of a calculus of sort of how good you could make it versus the price point versus the neighborhood? Like, how does that all come together?
Oh, man. The short answer is that I think the ingredient you can't add to the dish is love, right? So if you can try to create dishes and teach your team that why you do something and developing flavors, there's a connection there. And I think that is something in the dish. That you can taste. I feel that for Monteverde, we really wanted to focus on an Italian restaurant that was the love of pasta, you know, really showcasing the making of the dough, the filling of the dough. So we don't make any pastas in the morning. Every pasta is made in the evening in front of you, and also we fill all of the filled pastas alla minute. So when you order the tortelloni di zucca filled with winter squash, it's actually rolled and filled, and then it goes to the pasta station to be cooked. You're tasting a pasta that might be only 3 minutes old. And I think that is the love of pasta. And that was, you know, the root of Monteverde.
You know, I imagine you've got to find people, right, to cook. You know, you can't do everything yourself, right? You've got to find people who can embody that same idea of love in maybe the more run-of-the-mill aspects of running a restaurant, like, you know, time night in, night out, managing to create that same feeling, right? How do you find those kinds of people when they walk through your door?
Oh, man. I feel like that's the question of the year amongst restaurateurs is finding cooks. You know, I don't know. I've been really blessed. We kind of had this field of dreams aspect. If we build it, they'll come. And, you know, we have some people there that have been there since we opened and new people that come in often. And, you know, you just look for somebody who has that smile, who has that, that pep in their step, that has the emotion and empathy to really get behind the food they're cooking and want to cook it for someone else.
Is it really hard to find
a lot of chefs?
Is it really hard to find cooks these days in Chicago?
That's the story. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Is that true, Sarah?
I mean, I think that there's a lot of there's like a lot of young cooks that need a lot of time and mentorship. Yeah. There's not a lot in between the sous chef and beginning cook level, so I do think there's a shortage there, but it takes time. It takes time to share the craft and mentor and inspire.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about Monteverde is that it's sort of, is that again, when you're talking about that connection of food and love, is that you, these pastas are meant to be shared. And I'm one of these people who always wants to try everything that everyone is eating. And it can be sort of annoying because I'm just passing my fork around and saying, let me try that. And, you know, people don't necessarily want to do that.
No, they don't.
But when you're encouraged to, when you, it's actually, it's served family style, it's like, hey, guess what? I get some of this one too. And I get some of that one. And that adds that sort of communal spirit, I assume, is something you were after by creating the menu in that way.
Yes, I'm not the type that just wants to have my own dish or my own pasta. Like, there's too many pastas out there to not want to try. And I think that's one of my favorite meals is when you can really taste a lot of different things and not get, you know, bogged down with one dish. You know, I was always taught that you taste for about the first three bites, and after that, you're just eating.
Really?
And so the idea of sharing and passing the plate around is brings you back to that family communal place where food is love, but also has your palate excited and tasting different things, which I think overall adds to the experience.
When you're eating out somewhere else, is there sort of a tell of when you could say you taste something and you think, oh, this was made with love, or, you know, this really wasn't?
Oh, no.
You don't have to name places. I'm just saying in terms of, you know, especially when you're ordering, you know, maybe Italian food or just stuff that, you know, something where you'll taste something, you'll think, you know what, they just didn't really care enough about this. Or, you know what, that's a really nice touch in there. I am impressed that they did that for us.
Yes. I only think the way to know that, though, is if you've truly eaten food by people who put love into it. Mm. So I would say, you know, there's a different feeling when you take something.
What chef, what chef or chefs would you say meals that you've eaten by chefs, maybe in Chicago, maybe not, that put the most love into their food? Like, when have you gone, oh my God, this chef really puts love into this food? What, you know, what have been those moments for you?
Oh man, well, Bill Kim is one of those chefs for sure.
Oh yeah.
When he had an Urban Belly, and now Urban Belly has moved and it's at Belly Q. But he gets excited. He was one of the first chefs that I met that came in and sat next to me at the table while I was eating and just wanted to talk food. And I think that he's so inspiring. So definitely Bill Kim. Oh man, there's so many great chefs in the city. I love what Ben Ruiz is doing over at One Fun Chinese.
Why is that?
I think he truly loves Szechuan food and went there. And I know nothing about that type of cuisine. And so I really enjoy that.
Yeah, I just heard about that place. I got to check that
Where
out.
Where is that place?
It's on Randolph,
it's
right?
It's very spicy.
Oh, right.
It's on Randolph. It's great because it's spicy, so you want to keep drinking. So that's also very romantic.
There you go. Do you have a go-to meal at home? Like, you're home with Jamie. You're not going into the restaurant. You're going to put something together. What's your go-to meal that you're going to cook to, you know, have it, you know, just a nice, affectionate evening?
Oh, gosh. He's going to be embarrassed when I say this.
Go ahead and embarrass him.
I'm like the queen of the cooler clean-out pasta. So, it's not necessarily the dishes that I shop for that I think are the best. It's the dishes that I find something in the pantry, or you know, find something in the refrigerator that I want to use. It's those pastas I think are the best, because it shows you have to try harder. You know what I mean? You have to really try to put the love and passion into those dishes. It just doesn't come naturally when you can go and say, all right, I'm going to go and buy this and have this. And the dish that I kind of caught him on, this was, oh my God, almost 10 years ago. I woke up one morning and I decided to make a pizza for him, a breakfast pizza. Mm. I didn't have any dough. So I took potatoes and made a big giant hash brown in the saute pan. And then I topped it with eggs and sausage and made like a hash brown pizza.
Yum.
But the potatoes were the crust. And after that, it was
Wow. You would be great on that Top Chef show, you know, with that kind of talent. That is awesome.
It's those dishes that you kind of have to figure out what you're going to do.
Everybody listens now. They're people listening in their cars, they're pulling off the road. They're thinking,
wow,
you know,
that
where can I go
really,
and get that kind of food?
Now, that sounds really good. You got to be a little creative. But, you know, so it's really not a matter of the go-to recipe for you. It's just a matter of sort of making it right and doing it right.
Making it, being inspired by the ingredient, I think, is number one. So if it's this awesome jar of tuna from Italy, or is it, you know, you have a lot of onions and you want to make a delicious pasta, or even just a simple tomato sauce, there's a lot of different, I think keeping it simple is the key.
All right. Sarah Gruenberg, thank you so much for coming on with us. Everyone go check out Monteverde. And I'm really happy to talk to you and to eat your food. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Bye-bye, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Night.